Sorry.
Okay, it's recording, you know.
Called meeting to order. I think everybody received the agenda for tonight. It's a pretty packed agenda. Are there any changes? I see Chris with a thumbs up, Jane's nodding, Patty, we're good. Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye, and then the summary notes.
Move to approve.
Did anybody have any changes? What's that?
Move to approve.
Motion to approve, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay.
We're passing, yeah.
In favor, okay, thank you. So, tonight, do we have any community comments?
We do not.
Okay. Then, let's go ahead and get started with budget updates and priorities. And we have a couple of parts to this. One is, you know, the whole budgeting update and process. And then we did have also just a chart that helps us talk about priorities, looking at specific line items. Ken, how do you want to proceed?
Well, I can kind of give a quick update since last Parks Board meeting when we talked about budget. So we're on about our second, internally with staff, we're on about our second line item budget that we talked about last month. The key things there, you know, besides some increases with utilities projected at 14% increases in some of the other line items, it does look like we're moving forward with our park improvements that we talked about at 35,000, which is those projects that are less than 10,000, not on our capital improvements. The parks tree maintenance and upkeep that we talked about at 20,000, and then adding a street tree line item in our line item budget. So those are important things for us so that we can, you know, let the community and the budget committee and you know where our money's going a little more accurately. I just completed our capital improvements program budget, kind of our first draft of that. From the parks side of it, really, in the parks budget, we have the American with Disabilities Act that we have every year, $10,000 for upgrades. We have park improvements at $65,000, and we have that park maintenance at $25,000. Those were the two new line items I put in last budget because we just need to start defining some of those upgrades that we want to talk about activating our parks with that money. The other things as far as the GO bond and things, our parks updates have not changed there. We've got the same projects. And I can send that out as it gets defined what the GO bond, but we're down to just a couple of small projects, you know, those little fences in our parks, different things, and then the three larger projects that revolve around the river that we've talked about. And then I have facilities, which is complicated. We're going to city council in about 14 days to talk about funding for historic city hall. We have some in there for Sunset Fire Hall for some ADA upgrades and a new roof and some different things. But that's kind of our first draft of that. So that's kind of where we are right now. If there's any questions.
Can you share the first drafts of these yet?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can.
That would be great.
Yeah, I can get those out to you.
Understanding that they're just work in progress.
Yeah, yeah.
Would the rest of the board want those? I would think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then a quick question. I think you mentioned this last time, but I forgot to write it down. Kind of the schedule for then budget approval. Is that like months down the road, or is it? I mean, it sounds like you started it, but I know it takes a while. So
it's months down. So right now we have the city council elections that are on the 14th, and then we have a mayoral election, which is in May. So we're putting it together, kind of making assumptions, you know, and they'll meet with the budget committee probably in April, but then it'll probably be completely approved, I would guess, mid-June.
Okay.
With pretty rapid for those people that are coming on board, kind of, new council and the new mayor.
Okay, so I'm sharing screen, and then for those of us who are here, I brought hard copy. It might be easier for you to use that. I know you have yours. So one of the things I did with Ken prior to coming here, he had asked us at our last meeting to come with some input on both non-capital line items, and then if we feel like there's something really large scale that we need to focus on. And this goes hand in hand with our priorities that we put into our plan, which we'll be finalizing later. And so this little chart is a snapshot of what we have. Did you all get a chance to take a look at this prior to the meeting? All right. As you look, Ken, you've had a little bit more time. Was there anything significant that was missing on this upper?
No, I think it covered it pretty well.
Okay. So it gives us a snapshot of where we have assets, where we have resources. I think that looking at this, it illustrates where we're weak. It also, I think, illustrates how creative and effective our park staff is at using the resources that we have. It's pretty amazing. And so recognizing that, I think going into the next biennium, what type of direction we want to provide. Took a stab at identifying risks or issues with courts, water, indoor rec, outdoor rec. With water, you know, demand for boating, swimming exceeds resources, difficulties accessing riverfront on the Willamette. We know that we've run into a lot of barriers there, not barriers that we can't overcome, but they're going to be more long term. Indoor rec, when I look at it like this, it's extremely limited resources. Again, I am amazed at Tara, what you guys can do with what we have. And I know I've used Sunset Fire Hall a lot for activities and Tai Chi and all sorts of things there. we have a lot in our park. The ongoing maintenance and upgrades require the budgeted investment. And so I think that what I'd like to do as a group is get a little bit more concrete in providing direction with what we'd like to see. You know, what might be, this is a capital project that we have to start moving on one way or the other. And then what are some, maybe some smaller line item things. And so as we look at this, I'd love to hear from each member of the board. If there was one big, kind of big nugget that we really know is part of the strategic plan, we know we need to go forward. If we were going to put our energy behind one big capital project or even a bond project, I'd just like to hear what people's opinion is on that, what you think that would be.
Well, Vicki, I don't know that this would be the one thing, but I really like this this layout, and I think it's a great idea for you know, generating our ideas, but keeping them within the scope of our mandate and of the master plan and so forth. But When it comes to, you know, big items, in the water column there, one of the issues that we're going to see in the near future is due to the silting in around Cedar Oak Boat Ramp. And probably my guess is that either this summer or next summer, when we get to low water in late summer, that lagoon area in the center of Cedar Island is going to be completely cut off from the channel. And so boating won't be available, whether it's power boating or non-motorized boating and so forth. At some point, my guess is that it's going to start silting up at the and affecting boat launch operations at the ramp itself at some point. And I know this is a contentious issue, and full disclosure, this was an issue that our neighborhood brought to the city, and we really reached an impasse, largely due to the anticipated expenses related to, to the implications. What, you know, the studies required to dredge, and then the dredging itself, were going to be immense under even the best case circumstances. So I don't know quite what to do with it, but I do know that it's going to become an issue. The channel there between where the beach is, where people launch their kayaks and they swim and so forth, and Cedar Island, you can now walk across it even when the water is not at its lowest, and which is an indication that the bottom is higher than it used to be. So I'll stop there. I don't know quite what to do with it, but it's going to become an issue. And I think if nothing else, from a park, strictly a park standpoint, once that channel, or once that that sandbar across the mouth of that lagoon closes things off, one, it won't be accessible to boats, and two, we're going to start having fish kill in that area as the water heats up.
Okay, so I added that to an issue as well as an idea for the next biennium.
Okay.
So, other people, when you think of, boy, we have to do something about this. This is where we're supposed to be. Really making some movement. Jane.
I was gonna say that following through on the Go Bond plan, which I know is obvious, but to do what we can to push forward with those, to make those come in reality. I know there's a lot of different parts and tentacles in different places, but I think that's what the people want, is access to the river and quality access and enough access, safe access, that kind of thing. And so I think that whatever we can do to help make that a reality would be good.
I would concur, and, you know, not only pursuing that, but also looking at that Willamette River waterfront and how can we use that and make it, you know, clean it out and make it absolutely usable. It's easy access. It's right there off the road. I walked it this week up and down. And so, you know, looking at a little bit outside of the box of just, well, we'll need this land and this land and this land and this land and these approvals, maybe, you know, also taking a look at what else can we do. And that goes into our discussion later on. So the river bond plans. All right. Patty, is there anything you would add?
No, I just am wholeheartedly into doing what we can to bolster up and help the Willamette Park just be better access and better, or just different ways of accessing and getting in the water and just making it a more enjoyable experience all in all. So what you were saying, I echo all of that.
Right.
It's just such a gem for us.
Yeah, I just see, I mean, I spent some time there on the one nice day. Walking back and forth, and it's like, yeah, this is like some of the best, most accessible waterfront in the entire city. I mean, Mary S. Young, you have to go down the hill. You know, Swift Shore, you have to go in, and then it's, anyway, it's just so accessible.
So I'm gonna stick with the water theme.
Yeah.
And stick with that. The one thing I think amongst that group of resource I might want to prioritize, and that's just from my perspective, is the swimming area. I've been down there so many times seeing the kids swimming off the boat dock and being a water skier or around boats and all that stuff. It's just like, wow, I'm surprised there hasn't been more conflict or injury to people who are swimming and boats are coming in and everything else. So
I mean, it's
a designated swim area somewhere would be cool.
I can't agree more. I'm the high school sea lion, you know.
Yeah.
I do think at some point we should ask for a study of an indoor rec center. It has been on the master plan, and there's absolutely nothing moving in that direction. And we certainly can't use the old police station or Robinwood station or Bolton station. They're not going to be rec centers, indoor rec centers. They don't have the footprint. They don't have, that's not what anything. So at some, if we don't say, we need to start looking at getting some indoor gym and rec, then we never will get it. And I'm not saying aquatic center, saying an indoor rec center, to at least set aside or ask for some funds to have a consultant say, here are your options. This is the range that we're talking, looking at the land and property that you have. I've been on the board for a long time, and we say it every single year, but there's never anything that is being done to get us there. So I personally would like to request the funds to at least get the preliminary plans so that we can, you know, if it makes sense, put it on the bond, make it a bond issue. That's my suggestion. I'm tossing it out to the group.
No, I like that. I just point of clarification. So are you thinking kind of a consultant type driven study where they're like, hey, okay, we understand this is the need, and, you know, based on your community size, this is what it typical indoor rec center would look like, and, you know, if you were, here's some locations that you could put it around, and it rough cost estimate is going to be X, right? Is that kind of what you're
doing? We have actually a lot of that information, but it got all twisted up with, you know, championship pool.
Right.
So,
okay,
you know, I don't know, Ken, what do you think?
I think what would be great is to have a consultant that can work with our community and figure out what this community can tolerate as far as cost, cost to build, cost to operate, instead of what has traditionally happened is we've hired a consultant and we go straight to an aquatic center, which it, I mean, it traditionally starts with a pool, which you know, traditionally just drives your costs way up, because then you have to have, you know, the leisure pool to go with it, and then you have to have all the dry side, and everybody asks, well, how did we get to $30 million?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't, you know, I think that would be an approach that would be great is to figure out, like you said, where the land we have available, build it, what could be tolerated, or what's possible, I think, with everything else going on in the community and the bonds and things, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And then figure out maybe what that dollar amount will build with the land we have. I think that would be a different approach than we've always taken.
Love that. I love that so much, Ken.
Yeah. That's just my thought.
Yeah. So. How about the rest of you guys?
How much does a study like that cost? How much has it, have we spent on something like that in the past?
That's a, I mean, much more extensive than that. In 2016 was our last big study. Our master plan was $100,000. But that's bigger than this. So I would think, at least initially with this, excuse me, you could probably do it, I would think, between 40 and 60 maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say 50 to 75.
Real in the scope of work, you know, so yeah. That we keep them kind of reeled in and not go crazy to start with.
Okay. So we have three big focal points, but a lot of energy around the river bond plans, getting Willamette Park access, getting in that Willamette River, prioritizing the swim area. That became pretty clear, but then also looking at what it's going to take to keep Cedar Oak operational and getting some progress toward an indoor rec. I think that in the category where it says directions already identified, ongoing maintenance and updating existing resources is, you know, I know that Ken has already communicated that that's already going into the plan. And I think as much as we can keep that in mind as we put anything new in or invest any funds, that it's also the ongoing maintenance, repair, upgrade, and operational costs, not just getting the thing.
Yep.
Okay. That's great for the big picture items. Do we have any small, it's like, boy, we've talked about this. I sure would like to see it. And I'll give an example. Last year, we talked about dog parks, off-leash areas and resources for dogs. And one of the things we talked about is maybe improving the fencing and maybe doing some improvements so there's more activity. You know, I don't know if you need to have in your budget little things like that, but that was, you know, we've talked about, oh yeah, with a little bit of money, this could be so much better. Do you need anything like that, or is that just kind of?
Well, I think some of the things in the budget we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. You know, right now, for this biennium, our park, so in our capital improvements program, you know, park maintenance at 25,000, park improvements at 65,000, those have not yet been defined. We want the dollar amounts, but those are conversations we have going forward.
Okay.
With the community, with the neighborhood association, you know, or our park staff, you know, when we need to maintain things, we need to maintain things, right?
Right.
And then on the line item budget with the park improvements at 35,000, that's kind of the same thing.
Okay.
What does that look like in a park? Is that some amenities at $5,000 for a dog park? You know, right now we're installing new fencing at Mid Hill Park around the basketball court, just because, you know, it's always has this big cliff where it slopes off, and it's like, well, we need to put a 6-foot fence so the balls don't roll off. You know, so that's just a small park improvement, but all those things that we can add. And that's kind of sent out that little sheet that had, here's some ideas on activating parks. You know, do we put in a tech ball? Do we put in, you know, different amenities or even just newer, little different. We pull out an amenity in a playground because it's old, you know, I mean, and we put a new widget in. I mean, just, you know, so those are things, you know, we thought this week as an example, there's an entrance to Mary S. Young off of Mark Lane, where you can go to the side of Mary S. Young Park, which is at the far end of the park, kind of. And there's an old swing set there that's just kind of, you know, our park staff thought it wasn't used much. What if we take it out, relocate it inside the park, and we'll, you know, improve this little access? Well, I talked to the neighborhood association, and in about 20 minutes, I got emails from 5 parents in the neighborhood that say, oh, no, we use that every night. You know, so, I mean, those are the things we need to talk to people about. And so I said, okay, no need to talk, you know, we won't talk about it because it makes sense to leave it.
Yeah.
You know, so those are things we can talk with neighborhood associations and.
So you don't need that list right now?
I don't think we need it right now. I think if we have ideas, they can certainly go in the minutes and we can start to see, oh, where could we do that? If that's an amenity that we don't have in our park system, you know, we can have those conversations and start to explore. You know, and one of the conversations we're having in about 2 weeks is meeting with a couple of the neighborhood associations and having that conversation about where's the threshold where you want us to come to you, right? And this comes out of things, whether it's public works or parks. You know, some neighborhood associations want us to talk to them if we move a garbage can. Some of them don't care about that, but they only care about new amenities in the park. So we're kind of trying to figure out what that communication looks like when we make operational decisions or management decisions or equipment decisions in our parks. So.
Okay. Well, do you want us to capture some of those, or would that add value to you, or?
I think if there are smaller items that people want to throw out that they think would be additions to our park system, I think it's great, or we can do it next month, or.
Well, I just wanted to capture, because the board had improvements to off-leash area at Mary S. Young and signs at Disc Golf. You know, is the project manager in me? It's like we talk about it, and if it doesn't get, you know, done, if it begins to itch. Right.
But it sounds like, Ken, I mean, maybe it'd be so bold to say that the board, in support of the values that you put into the budget, you know, when someone goes, well, what do you mean by, you know, 65K on improvements, what are you talking about? You can say, well, the board has talked about there are some aging structure that needs to replace, and we're looking at not replacing in kind necessarily, but looking at what new things could we put in there to jazz things up about. And I think we would support that. I don't know what those are at this moment in time, but, you know, if you came and said, hey, you know, this thing's falling apart, should we replace it the same, or should we put in, you know, one of the drum things or whatever, musical things. And I love that list you put together, so thanks.
And a lot of that, you know, was like, you know, Sunset Neighborhood Association had a meeting and they talked about 4 different things about parks last month. So I'm going to meet with their president, you know, and talk about what they talked about, because I haven't even seen minutes yet. But, you know, Skyline Ridge is having a meeting and they want to talk about, it looked like on their agenda, you know, what could we add to our park or something?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, not just, they also want to, you know, do volunteer work in the park like they have for years. So those are just things that come up. They bring ideas, just kind of like you guys might bring ideas that we can just, you know, if you see something or, you know, I mean, I think that's great.
Okay.
I think it's important for the neighborhoods to be able to provide that feedback on amenities within their given park, because neighborhoods evolve, you know, we evolve over time from having lots of little kids to having no kids. And so it kind of depends.
Right.
And I agree. Do we anticipate additional parking needs at Fields Bridge Park that aren't already planned?
We could certainly use more parking there. We are short on land. So there's really, we don't really have many options. You know, I think those are things we have to think about. And when you talk about Willamette Park, activating that in a different way that's going to draw more people, now we need to have a conversation about infrastructure there. What does that look like? I mean, because, you know, we're short on parking there on weekends. So sure, we could use more parking. We just need to find a place to put it. That feels great.
I hear you. I don't have an answer. Sorry.
Yeah.
Board members, are there any other kind of low-hanging fruits that we've talked about that we want to make sure just get on the list? I think our play structures and everything, we have some pretty amazing assets in our parks.
We do, but we also have to acknowledge that some of them are aging. We'll talk about as that happens, you know, they can be updated or they can be replaced. You know, some of them, they still have a lifespan. And things change. That's where we can try to activate a little bit, not taking the whole structure down, maybe.
Okay. Anything else? Patty, Chris, Jane? All right. Anything at Wilderness Park? It's always a black hole park for me. That's the one park I've really never spent any time at.
Wilderness Park is truly that. It's a trail system. A lot of people run there, walk through. You know, we own Wilderness Park, and then it meets right below Clark Street. It meets where the high school owns, which kind of creates it into this big giant thing. And then it, around the corner, it connects to Camassia. It's really just about keeping trails, and we have a group that volunteers there and helps us out.
Is there any other ideas to activate that park? I mean, honestly, it's the one park in the city I just avoid.
I go over and I use it. It's mostly like, you know, in the evening or Sunday afternoon, so let's go for a little hike. It's you just kind of do the loop around, and I think that's what most people use it for. And I think it's mostly trail maintenance sort of thing. I don't know what else you.
We have like an Eagle Scout project out there, like a wayfinding project that we did at Mary S. So people know the trails, because the trails can be confusing.
Yeah.
Even for me, I'm like, where is Camassia? You know, but something like that, is maybe updating the trail map. People.
I think there would be strong emotions about doing anything like development of any kind.
Like a huge zip line going down the hill or.
I think there's a potential for.
People would not be happy with that.
Yeah, I think that would be my guess,
Okay. Are there any other activities that would draw teens, older, your age kids into our parks?
BMX.
I mean, I think BMX is one, which has traditionally kind of been targeted for about the 2.5 acres we own off of Carriage Way. You know, there's Merrillhurst Heights Park, and then there's the property that's owned by the state, which has the big tower on it right off of Carriage Way. And then we own about 2.5 acres just on. But that just hasn't moved forward yet, just from a funding perspective. If you recall, 18 months ago, there was conversation about the police and their C-800 group putting a new tower there, which was a little controversial with the neighborhood. So I do have in our budget $900,000 to purchase that property, but I don't know what that movement is. And those are just things we're talking about. You know, is that even happening anymore with the new C-800 tower? And, because it's kind of a, I mean, that if you know where Carriage Way goes in and turns to the right, makes that big S turn, it's kind of a weird piece right there on the corner.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else? Is this helpful for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to start. Absolutely.
Okay. So if there's not anything else, then we go to the Willamette Park non-motorized boat concept, which actually is a little bit of a continuation of our largest priority that we just identified.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop sharing.
Let Sarah share. You can pull it up.
Mm-hmm. It might orient people that this is the road.
Oh, no. If you just hit share on the bottom.
Oh,
you can't share a PDF.
Do you want me to share it? Let's see here.
I believe, oh, why would it not support a PDF? It's the most common value.
I know.
Sarah, I'll pull it up. That's okay. I got it. I'll just make it a little bigger. All right.
Yeah, it's probably going to be hard to read, but.
So, I'm going to move this. Okay. So, it doesn't like to move. All right.
Can we see that at all from your end? Or is it really small?
Yeah, I've got a printout copy, so I'm good.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, here, we'll start. That's a little bit bigger. We can start at this corner.
We'll be able to send this out. So we've talked a lot over the past year about non-motorized boat access and parking improvements at Willamette Park. So the piece that you're looking at now is where you would exit on Vault Street onto Tualatin Avenue. 14th Street would be right across the street. When we started this process, you know, there were two things that we wanted to focus on: increasing parking and cleaning it up. If you ever go there, you know, where the non-motorized current archaic boat ramp is, you know, that parking turns into mud and gravel. So we wanted to improve that. And the other objective was obviously to be able to get people down to the water in a safe manner. So this is about a 10% design that our consulting firm and Public Works has put together with us. So the parking that we've put on top of where the gravel is now, we did put in some trailer parking. We're having conversations that might be too many, but we wanted to have some of the 45-foot parking places. If a canoe company comes with their trailer and they actually have a place to park in this area, like I say, there's one for ADA and then three other trailer parking spots, and that might be a little too many, but that's still in conversation. If we move a little farther down, the first thing you would see.
Where am I going?
Go to the right. On the bottom. Nope, go to the right. So okay. We see more of the plan towards. There you go. Now, if you can go up a little bit with the plan. Yeah. Now, go ahead and take it farther to the right if you want. So the first thing you see is the long gray structure. So that's comparable to where people are currently walking down to the river. There's an old historic boat ramp that's all broken up and it's got a big Jersey barricade. So that is what we would utilize for those able-bodied folks to get down, walk down, or wheel their kayaks down. As you see, the zigzag pathway What we have partnered with Oregon State Marine Board is to not just create a ADA compliant access, but completely accessible for those people that have ADA issues getting in the water. So the reason that it has zigzags is so that anytime through the year at different water levels, someone who would need to use an ADA accessible pathway could get down to the water. And we have access from both sides. You can see from the old Grass Creek parking lot, which is on the top there, and then from the new parking area. When we partnered with our Public Works Department, we are looking at redoing this whole street a little wider so it's a little safer. You'll also see some additional parking on the park side. There's 4 spots here and 4 spots there above and below our stage. And then we're able to put a sidewalk all the way down, because if you're in the park now, at any time, people will be walking down the middle of the street because there's no sidewalk and it's narrow, there's that curve. It's rather hazardous. Working with Public Works, we also put in a new crosswalk down by the restroom and just, you know, cleaning the whole area up and making it, you know, just a lot nicer than it is, just so it's appropriate with painted crosswalks, improve areas down to 12th Street. So I've just received some of our, the next phase of our consulting firm. It's a rather expensive project by the river, so we'll be exploring that. We're going to go back through another pre-app with our planning department now that we have a 10% design, so we can talk about the land use applications and working with the Department of Division of State Lands if we need to as we go into the water. This is a great project that we've partnered with Oregon State Marine Board. They're very excited that we would have a fully accessible route into the water. So we will hopefully get to a 30% design, and then we'll be applying for grants with Oregon State Marine Board. I did take this to the Willamette Neighborhood Association last night just to show them what it looks like. It seemed that the people are supportive of this type of concept to have in the park. So that's kind of where we are with this concept. Still a little early on, and it's a long project.
I would like to add that this whole area from the non-motorized boat launch all the way down to, you know, the volleyball courts and beer gardens, and that we make that a usable beach, usable, accessible beach, clear it out, do whatever terraforming we need, but make the investment of, it's not just a little hillside of a bunch of brush and blackberries, but really clean that out and put some money into it. So it's a beautiful place for families to enjoy the river. You know, with the ADA access, it'll be a unique beach in West Lynn. And I think that if we're going to do this project, that part of it really needs to be in the plan, in the budget. It's also a great swimming area. That area is a great place to swim.
Yeah, I can certainly talk to our consultants and see what that would look like. If there would be, I mean, it's going to be the same type of permitting, at least, you know, very similar, because we wouldn't be putting structures on the river there, but just removing, we'd have habitat studies, archaeological studies, and the cultural studies that would probably just need to extend down farther. So,
but even, you know, putting some concrete steps and, you know, doing maybe some walls or whatever, so that we're really making it a really nice place for people to take their families. I think, you know, we don't have any residences there. We don't have other people who own the property. And it's super easy access if we make it so. Right now it's not, it's just brushy debris. And I know that we have parking problems, but it's the most unique beach in the entire park system. As far as getting there, it's super sunny. It's just the perfect place for our Westland sea lions to hang out. So personally, I'd rather see cutting back on perhaps even other activities if we have to enable us to have this and the parking to support it. I don't know. Jane?
Is it possible to put in like a buoyed area, like we were talking about swimming and safety, since the boat ramp is right there? And I mean, how far is that, you know, with current and everything else and environmental concerns, just a visual buoyed area to mark off the swimming area from the boating area? Is that possible?
From the current boating area? Or this one?
Right. So if you pan down to the left would be like these ramps and then theoretically the swimming area, but then the boat ramp is not that far off on the right. So is there any way to make a buoyed area to show where the boats shouldn't just hang out by the swimming area?
I think it's possible. I think we need to look at, so this area, I think we need to look at how good of a swimming area this is, and kind of as it, the mouth of the Tualatin goes into the Willamette with the currents and things. I mean, I've been out there, but, you know, I don't know how that is. I think a swimming area, you know, I think the question, and I don't know the answer right now, could we put a buoyed swimming area maybe right below the existing boat ramp? I think would be the best place, because once you kind of get around the corner to the Willamette, mm-hmm. past our boat ramp, that's where it really, to me, kind of turns into a lake.
Yeah, you know, it's very still.
It's very still.
From about here, from this point all the way down, it's pretty still. I mean, I go kayaking there, like, all the time. So it's almost dead water. I mean, you can just sit in your kayak and you don't move. So if you go down here, this is going to move you. That's not a place to go swimming.
So right where this is, what we need to look at is possibly a debris boom of some type, right? Because right where you're accessing the water here, mm-hmm. Tualatin River comes and all the debris, if you go there today, there are a bunch of logs that are all in that area, because that's, you come down the Tualatin and they just loop back. So, but that was kind of the concept of the swim park when we got in, you know, with the master plan was the whole concept. But then we got into the potential property that we were targeting, got sold by Clackamas County, and it's in private ownership. And that's, you know, really slowed that whole process down. But I think we could, if that's not an option, you know, I think we could explore a buoyed area somewhere. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not a small area. The water is pretty still, and it's a good beach. I mean, it's a good place to go. So I kind of feel strongly that if we're going to be looking at this, we need to look at that whole beach area from the non-motorized boat launch all the way down to the boat beer gardens.
Right, and then you're at the other boat launch.
Yeah.
Okay.
To
I mean, we can certainly
get
some more information, absolutely, if that's something to take a look at.
I think it's definitely needed.
Well, it's a lot easier to get to than Mary S. Young, mm-hmm. or even Cedar Oak, you know, even getting to the lagoon, which is filling with silt, is not as easy, and it's so. Okay. I'm really excited about this project. I mean, the whole thing. So if that, right now it's all kind of busted up asphalt, kind of goes down. you can kind of go. There are a couple places that, you know, are kind of chunky. But if that was smooth, does that count for ADA? And I'd love to be able to just roll.
Well, it will be. That's what the new platform would be. Now, it wouldn't be ADA because it wouldn't meet the grade. It would be too steep. But, I mean.
But it's good for.
But that, I mean, that would, in essence, be replacing what we have.
Yeah.
Certainly, a lot of people who may have some type of disability could use it, but not necessarily, you know, someone in a wheelchair or some of those different things. But.
So now, you see where my cursor is?
Yep.
What is this that we're looking at?
Sidewalk around the parking lot.
Sidewalk around the parking lot. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is actually, I put that in the wrong place. It's way down here. Oops, sorry, you don't need that. Yeah. Okay. This is exciting. Any other questions? Suggestions?
No, I like it.
Okay. Stop sharing that.
I think it looks great. I'm excited too.
Hi,
I've been listening.
Okay.
It sounds great. Yeah. It looks great. I mean, I'm looking at the online map, you know, that Ken sent us or whatever, the diagram.
I am Word. Nope, not that one. Share. I don't need to share. Okay, so the next item is finalizing our plan. Westland Parks and Rec Advisory Board plan. And I made all of the additions to pages 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. As we look at these, we may want to add, and we have the budget discussions, budget and activating parks. Were there any other additions or changes that you had to this? Did you get a chance to look at this, folks? Okay. I had, Tara gave me a few additional small changes on the events, but I'll make those changes. But were there any other changes? Do we want to make a motion to accept the plan?
Chris?
I'll move.
Okay.
I'll second.
Nope.
What?
Let's make one change.
Okay.
Let's put pickleball from June to April.
Okay.
And the reason why is because at our meeting we can talk about potential sites, alternative solutions, because it looks like we may go to city council with those on the 17th of April, tentatively. So it would be great for you guys to weigh in. I mean, I'll.
Absolutely.
To talk about.
Yep.
And then how about if we put the Willamette Park plans in June? Because hopefully we'll have a little bit more progress there.
Sure. We can certainly shoot for that.
All right. With those changes, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Patty? Diana?
Aye. Good?
Okay. Yep. Awesome. Well, that was faster than expected. We're doing great.
Good job.
Good job. Okay. Are there any of items of interest from board members that we haven't already discussed or aren't already on our agenda? If not, let's go ahead and do our update for Rec and Adult Community Center.
All right. Well, we launched Lucky Out in Our Parks March 1st. Lucky will be out and about till March 16th.
We've had quite a few passport or booklets turned in already, so it's been great to see everybody coming in with those. Our summer brochure, we're working on that. Registration is going to start March 27th for all their summer programs. This Sunday, I'm working with an NCL group. They got a grant for our new pollinator garden at Mid Hill Park, so that'll be great for keeping up with our Bee City USA.
Cool.
So we'll be planting some natives and some drought-tolerant perennials in there for all the pollinators. We have Arbor Week coming up. We're going to give out about 100 1-gallon native plants here at City Hall. We'll promote that as it gets closer. And then we're working on our big Earth Day Work Day event April 22nd down at Fieldsbridge Park.
April 22nd. Okay.
And Adult Center has their new newsletter out. Get a chance to take a look at that. We've got some great stuff coming up, bus trips. And I think that's what we're working on in the near future.
Okay.
Yeah. So, other updates. So we are one of our employees, Megan, from the Adult Community Center is leaving us.
Yeah.
And we have hired a new person, Nicole, who will start on November 20th. We'll have them overlap so that they can, you know, train and do some things. We're excited about that. If you recall, Don Kolb, one of our rec coordinators, left. In January, we will be holding interviews on Monday to try and replace that person. Hopefully we'll get some great interviews and select someone. I'll send all this out. Our free street tree replacement program, I think we are at about 282 trees that have been planted in our community. We're finishing up about the last 20, and then we'll kind of put together a final report that you'll be able to see, and we'll go to council. Park maintenance staff has been working really hard. If you noticed, we've got new split rail fences at Douglas Park. They're doing a lot of landscape cleanup, starting to get ready for summer. We had another Eagle Scout who's going to install a kiosk at Bensky Park. Sea Rock Boat Ramp has a new drinking fountain. They've installed the last sections of the seasonally, we remove a couple sections of the dock at Sea Rock. They put those back. As I said, McLean House, we've got ongoing planning as we manage that, working with the library and internally. We're planning to hold some different events there throughout the summer, some different concerts, music, that used to be Music in the Stacks with the library. Part of that, as we've discussed, is kind of gauging what are our true costs going to be to manage that facility, to man the events with the limited staff we have. What's acceptable to our neighbors in the community there, you know, how many cars can we really park without, you know, causing internal issues there, and working with the neighbors as we explore all those things. We installed new benches or refurbished new benches at Fieldsbridge Park. Cedar Oak Boat Ramp, if you remember the design, redesign for parking there and that paving project, should be awarded next week on March 13th. So it has a deadline of June 30th with our grant, so that'll be done. Marius Young Overflow Parking was also part of our road program. It got bid also, and it'll be awarded on the 13th also. If you remember, part of that is being funded by FEMA due to all the damage that occurred when we had our ice storms and removed the 1,600 street trees and stored them all at the park. That'll also has a June 30th deadline. So we'll be very busy with some bigger projects. I think that's about all I have, unless someone has other questions I can help answer. Chris, we're monitoring water levels already to see if we can put the pedestrian bridge in when possible. Because I know you and your neighbors are close down there.
I appreciate that. I noted the water levels going to come up, my guess, towards the end of the week and early next week. My guess is this is going to be a high water spring given the snowpack we've got.
If I may go back, the chart that we use for activating parks, kind of prioritizing that, should that be copied and pasted into our plan as one of our supporting documents?
You're talking section 4?
No, this.
Oh, that. Okay.
The thing that we worked on tonight.
Yeah.
It's a snapshot.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I think so.
All right. I'll cut and paste that in.
I guess I have one more thing I forgot.
Okay.
Because it's on the agenda. And Tanner Creek Pickleball.
That's the next item.
We removed two courts, all the apparatus for two courts. I think we did it the day before March 1st. Our staff did. Signage has been removed for the pickleball club. They're no longer hosting anything there. New sign went up, you know, that basically limits, you know, the two courts with no portable net systems there. I don't have any updates. We haven't heard anything. I think it's been really bad weather. Obviously, it snowed. So I don't know if Diana has any input that she's seen or heard, or because I know she's obviously closer and lives there.
Yeah, well, you know, because it's been so cold, we've definitely had all of our windows and doors closed, which typically if it's above 40, we have them open periodically throughout the day. But our neighbors right next to the park, you know, have been out of town for a month. But, okay. You know, we've definitely heard it, but of course we're going to hear it, but it's not like it's been a cacophony and it's been, you know, low crowds, low volume. So I think, you know, it's just too difficult to tell, but it certainly hasn't been terrible. So I think it's, you know, just we have to just kind of wait and see how that goes. But it's nice. Yeah, the signs are up and it seems like it's been, you know, pretty mellow. Yeah, but I think it's, you know, the snow and the cold and the rain and everything certainly has not invited pickleball players or tennis players to that area. And
sure.
So
what type of pushback has your office received from that change?
Well, I've heard zero.
I mean,
you know, we coordinated it with the pickleball club. They came and met. We communicated with them, and they're, you know, talking with us about alternatives, and also like we'll talk to you about, you know, what else can we do, you know, to, you know, facilitate that demand. So I don't know anybody on our staff in the office that received phone calls. I think predominantly because nobody's playing. Like Diana said, it's snowy and raining. So the demand has been really low since March 1st, I think.
Well, this is something that, you know, we really have to stay on top of as a board. And I would really invite you, Ken, to share the types of calls and sure. feedback that you receive, just so that, you know, we know what people are saying.
Sure.
Great.
Good question. Ken, you said we're gonna present something to the city council next month, and what is that about? And also, didn't you add about 15 different days of like 3 or 4 hours a piece of additional indoor play for pickleball?
Yes, two things there. So when council supported city manager John Williams' changes to the pickleball at Tanner Creek, they wanted us to look at alternatives for how do we meet the demand now, right? So that's what John has tentatively scheduled to have presented, have me present with his input and obviously everybody's input on April 17th at City Council. What alternatives might we have for locations, other pickleball venues, whatever that may be that we come up with to meet the demand, you know, because we reduced it by 2 courts, and if it doesn't work, we're going to reduce it by 2 more courts. You know, so what does that look like? We did add more time through, I think, the end of May for some more indoor pickleball play in the schools. And we can do that successfully, you know, we hope it's successfully. People will still want to play. The big question we have as we look at the indoor facilities is what are people going to want to do when the sun's up? We don't know if there's going to be a demand to play in the schools during the summer because they're not air conditioned. They get really hot, but we're willing to try it and see what happens.
Can you send out the like Oswego George Rogers Parks analysis so we can get some ideas to what we'll be looking at? You know, like, I assume you said before you didn't want to hire any professionals to do the analysis. So is it just us that we're going to get together in April? It might be nice to have to see what they did, because I know they did almost a year-long process of looking at locations and studying sound and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I haven't even seen what they've done. I can see if I can get a copy of it. I think the dilemma that we have very limited opportunities. You can count them on one hand or less as far as property the city owns. So, I just think it's a small list. I mean, in all honesty, we can look at Marius Young. Athey Creek is out. The school district has already told me no, they will not convert any courts there because they're going to have a tennis team with their new high school. Robinwood has a basketball court. It's a very wooded area, but homes are still within about 250 feet. And that's almost the list of places that I feel like with the distances that are being put out there at 300 to 600 feet, I don't know that we'll be able to find a spot, to be completely honest. I mean, if someone has ideas, certainly let me know. I mean, because that's about all that I have on alternative sites.
If we get Oppenlander, would that be an appropriate site?
Nope.
Too close.
Yeah, I mean, I think anywhere on that site, you're going to be within, even if you, the only, well, there's nowhere.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
Any additional space at Hammerley to expand?
I mean, that's a possibility. You know, we've, that's something we would look at, but, you know, if you expand, the only way to expand, you know, now you're increasing play and does it become louder, more courts, more noise, more people?
How about with the school district in Athey Creek? I mean, it seems like that high school is a long way off. Would they allow those courts, at least one or two, one to be converted to four courts or even two in the interim before that high school is built and the tennis team?
My understanding from their chief operating officer is that they are going to have high school students there next year, and tennis is one of the sports that they will be playing, so they will not do anything with their courts.
Oh, okay. I thought it was 2 years off or whatever, a year and a half.
I can recheck that and make sure I didn't misunderstand that. But now, would they let us build somewhere else? I mean, farther out, you know, they have some ground. That I don't know.
Okay.
But the easy let us use your courts was a definite no.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I missed, what was the comment regarding Marius Young as a potential location?
Well, the first thing we need to check, and I found a contact in January. We have to re-sign our lease for Marius Young with Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. It is up this November. So I finally got a hold of the right person to do that, who said she would get back in touch with me. I haven't heard in 6 weeks, so I have to get back in touch with her, and we can check if it would even be possible, but that park does have deeds and restrictions when it was donated to the state from Marius Young. So development is always a question, and they would have to send it through their legal team if it was possible to build something there. And I think the last month we had the conversation that my gut feeling is that a lot of people would oppose development at that park because it's more of a quiet park. They walk the dogs. I mean, I don't know that. That's just speculation. I think someone else brought it up last meeting, but we will be exploring if that's even possible to build there with the deeds and restrictions.
And it may be that, like so many things that are in demand, we as a city try to fulfill as much as we can, and maybe it doesn't fulfill the entire demand, you know.
And it's going to be interesting because this summer is not going to be a unique or not going to be a normal summer, because Lake Oswego doesn't have one pickleball court.
Right.
So, you know, and they had a large club that are going to, and we're very close. So the demand we have this summer might not be what we would have if they solved their problem. So, I mean, so there's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So what exactly are you going to take to City Council then that we should prepare for?
Well, we're going to try to come up with alternatives to meet the demand of pickleball if it's exceeding the courts we have. And, you know, that's, you know, like I say, I think we have very few options of where we can build. And we'll let them know that we will continue to partner with schools and have indoor pickleball when we can. And that's really what they wanted to hear, as far as I know, just what are alternatives. So that's kind of open-ended, but, you know, I just thought I would bring it to you guys. I don't have to. I thought I'd bring it to you guys. It's 3 days, and see if you had any other ideas. We'll have it prepared and ready to go to council, because we have to do that notice probably, you know, a couple of days before our meeting. But I thought it would make sense just to run it by you guys.
When is that meeting?
It's tentatively scheduled for April 17th.
Okay. And do you need us in any way to help support you? Be there at all?
No, because this isn't a definitive plan. It's just trying to provide council with alternatives to meet pickleball demand.
And even if there isn't,
it might be a very short list. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, like I say, I just thought I'd bring it to you guys. If you have any ideas, we can at least talk about it.
Okay.
So, Ken, how about Rosemont Middle School? Is there any location within that school property that could accommodate any pickleball?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I'll have further conversations with the school district. It probably has the open grass, but, you know, in the back of where they have most of their open area is a 300-foot baseball field for, you know, the boys over 13. But
yeah.
I don't know. And then if you move a little close, you know, a little closer, you're kind of behind a home or two, I think, that are kind of next to our adult community center, you know, so. Well, certainly, like I say, I'll certainly have conversations with the district again to see if Athey Creek is a possibility to build something on their property that they may not use. You know, we can certainly talk about Rosemont. And I don't think the new Dollar Street site has any vacant land at all that I'm aware of.
It doesn't have its room for what it has.
Yeah.
And nothing at Willamette Park?
Oh, gosh, no.
Well,
that's, I mean, so shoehorned in now.
I think the dilemma with Willamette Park is, even with your concept, and I love the concept of improving this whole beach area, right? Now we have to have a conversation about where do we park cars? Do we eliminate a baseball field? Because it's so packed and so crowded, I think, if we can add pickleball, we could add a court down there where the volleyball courts are, but I mean, we have serious infrastructure problems, and then we have to have broader conversations about how do we still support girls softball down there, the boat ramp, the non-motorized boat ramp, potentially a new beach area and all those things.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Riverfront is so unique. I hate that.
Yeah.
We don't want to tie that up with non-water related stuff. I mean, if we're going to add anything,
it would be complicated.
It would be complicated.
That's not ultimately my decision, but it would be hard. I mean, yes.
Okay. Thank you for being diligent on this issue and keeping us up to date on it. Appreciate that. All right. Anything else on pickleball? Items of interest and feedback from City Council. Do we know of anything?
No, we don't.
When it comes to City Council, does it make sense to send our plan and maybe get a little spot on their agenda to just talk about Parks and Rec once we get our new counselors?
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably makes sense.
Okay.
And maybe that ends up being during the budget time and, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
Once they're all there.
All right.
Before they talk about goals, and you can have them, give them input on goals before they set their goals. How's that?
I bet that, yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Okay, then. Our next meeting is March 9th. Our next meeting is not March 9th. Our next meeting is April 14th. And at that meeting, we'll do another look at the budget. We added pickleball to that agenda. Oh. And
it's the 13th.
It's the 13th.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, really?
Where'd you see that? I was like, we have it on here for the 13th. I double checked.
Is it the 13th?
Yeah. Thursday the 13th?
And then if we're going to be making a report to City Council, what that's going to look like, and any orientation for those members. So budget pickleball are our big agenda items.
Okay.
For next month.
Okay.
Okay. And then we made good progress tonight. Good job, everybody. We have some nice output from our meeting. And is there any other suggestions or any feedback on tonight? You feel pretty good about what we've done?
Yeah.
Then we can go ahead and close our meeting.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.